Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
So this morning, we as staff and pastors wanted to speak to you about the different seasons of fatherhood. Psalms 139, 13 to 16 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet was none of them." Watching my daughter start from nothing to grow into all that she is now, all the adorable 12 pounds that she is, was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Pregnancy is a miracle from God. I remember the first time we went to the doctors and I heard her heartbeat. And, you know, my wife was just talking to the doctor, like, you know, everything was normal. I'm over in the corner crying because I'm like, there's actually life in there. And it was so crazy to me. But then the heartbeat turned into the first kick and then the first roll. And we even had the privilege of going to a 4D ultrasound and seeing the baby yawning and swimming around and doing all that crazy stuff. Every milestone is a celebration. One of the most important things that I tried to do during the pregnancy was speak to her before she was born. This way, I thought, she would recognize my voice, and so when we finally met, she would know that this is Dad. Not only that, I would spend a lot of time dreaming about what she would become and praying over her and speaking life into her before she knew me. Fast forward to her birthday. A crazy weekend led up to her birthday, but finally it came. And there was a lot of anxiety shared between Janae and I, of course, as first-time parents. But I realized that there was also trauma and anxiety involved for Melody. I mean, she spent 9 months in this dark, cozy place where she could just sleep and snuggle up and no one was disturbing her, but she was being evicted. It was time for her to get out. And so, of course, when she came out, she cried and screamed and fussed, as any of us do when we're, you know, abruptly removed from a place of comfort. We freak out, right? And so as she cried, as she screamed, I walked over to the table and I said, "Daddy's here. It's okay. Daddy's here." And almost immediately, under the sound of my voice, she began to calm right down. When her father spoke to her, it brought peace to her situation. What I've learned in the past few months as a father is that my relationship with my daughter is a reflection of the relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. When I look at her and I feel that deep sense of love and protection and pride in her, the Father reminds me that that's the same thing he feels when he looks at me. He loves me unconditionally. And it's the same thing for her as she experiences safety in my arms and she experiences the comfort of my voice. She will come to know that the same comfort and protection and love she gets from me, she can get that from the Father. His is way better than mine. God was strategic in his design for the father and child relationship because it serves as a reflection for both of us. God showed me before she came into the world when I was anxious and not sure if I was ready, panicking because I'm a kid myself. What am I doing with a child? God showed me that he had me. And not only that, that he would show me more about our relationship, about how to be intimate with him through me relating to my daughter. Being a child, you understand the protection and love that comes from your parents. But when you become a father, there's a new level of love that is unlocked. And you finally begin to understand just how the father feels about you. There is nothing that Melody could ever do, ever, that could ever change my love for her or make me stop being her father. I love her regardless. And that's the same way the father loves me. See, when our father sees us, he doesn't see our mistakes and our failures. What he sees is a child in need of love and guidance and protection, forgiveness and mercy and grace. It's a reflection for the both of us, which means that as fathers, we have one of the most important jobs. We already know that we have to love our wives like Christ loves his church, but that's not the end of our job. When our children come into the world, we are the first introduction they receive of who the Father is. The way we love them and care for them, but also when we lose our temper, or we're distant, or we're indifferent, we are creating the framework that they use to understand who God is in their lives. There are so many people that can't connect with the image of God as a good father because they've never had that model for them. This Father's Day, Men of Day Spring, we need to reflect on how well we're doing in this area. Ask yourselves, how much do I reflect the Father's love for my children? How many times do I spend time with my children one-on-one and invest in the things that make them tick? How often do I push my own desires on them or push them off on their mothers rather than stepping up and taking that time to get to know them intimately? The world is designed to capture the attention of our children. There's TikTok and Snapchat and everything on TV and YouTube and all of these things. But we have a job as fathers to be a fence around our children. We need to build them up and walk alongside them as they grow. And most importantly, we need to be a safe place for them so that they know that they are loved unconditionally, that whatever the world throws at them, we are with them to walk side by side and guide them through whatever it may be. This Father's Day, let's make an intentional choice to father our children the way that our Father fathers us.
I'm going to be speaking on the season of a father facing challenges. And so someone once said to me that shoulders are built for weight, not hips. Shoulders are built to carry weight, not hips. Which means that as fathers, we are a foundation. And we carry a lot of weight as dads. We carry a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things, a lot of pressures and things coming at us. So I'm going to share with you a testimony. So there's been a lot happening. And the Lord spoke to me even when I was over there that he's going to bring me clarity. And I'll explain why. So there's so much happening. So my own father got injured. He got hurt. Tragic accident at work. And my work, all of a sudden, they're restructuring. And I have a 22-year-old son, and we're not really talking right now. And I haven't spoken to him in like 3 years. And I just felt the weight and the burdens of a father and the burdens of life just all coming at me at the same time. And I want to be there for my family. I need to be there for my family. And I just couldn't handle it. And one morning, it was during the day, I woke up and I don't know what got over me. I just said, Lord, I submit. I'm tired. I submit. I give it to you. I give it to you. I cannot do this anymore. I submit. And I sat there, and in my heart, I surrendered. And as soon as I surrendered in my heart, my phone went off, and I looked down, and it was my son. And I got really emotional. And I was like, what are the odds of I haven't spoken to him in 2 years? And what are the odds of me saying at that moment that I surrender, God, I surrender to you. I take all this weight off my shoulder. I take all this responsibility off my shoulder. And I give it to you, Father, because I can't handle it. So I just give it back to you. And as soon as I gave it back to my Father began to do things, to put things in alignment in my life. I'm learning that as a father that's facing challenges, when you align with God, when you align with your Heavenly Father, the moment you align with God, at that moment, He pours out blessings and answers in your life. I tell you, and then I saw the example of it in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 19, when God was testing Abraham. And the Lord said to Abraham, He says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and take him to the place where, you know, I'm going to command you to sacrifice him. And the Bible says that Abraham, he didn't ask God why. He was complaining. He didn't say, but this is my only son. If I were Abraham, I'd be like, no, I don't know if this is you, God. I would question it. But the Bible says he didn't question. He just moved. He just moved. And then the Bible went on to say that as he got to the place, his son looked at him and his son said, Dad, I think we have everything to do the sacrifice, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham turned to his son and said, God will provide. That is. So his son accepted and they kept going towards the place of sacrifice. And as soon as they got there, as soon as Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, the Bible says that he looked over and there was a ram caught in the thicket. The ram was caught there. So then the Lord brought to my attention this. When, as fathers, you move in obedience, the answer is moving towards your obedience. He didn't see the answer. He didn't know where the answer was coming from. God already started the answer to move when he moved in obedience. And as he began to walk in obedience as a father, as he began to walk and listening to God and not wavering and moving towards the word of God, the answer was crawling on the other side of the mountain. But he couldn't see it. So what I'm saying, fathers, is that aligning yourself with the Lord, being obedient to God, aligning yourself with the word of God, aligning yourself to the will of God will always move our answer towards what we need. Let's take the weight off as fathers. We can't do it on our own. We can't handle it on our own. We can't figure it out on our own. So we have to go to the Father, the one who can carry all things. The Bible says that he's Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Ancient of Days, and he's a good Father. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Happy Father's Day.
So I'm going to be speaking on responsibilities of a father. Because as fathers, we tend to carry a lot of responsibilities. And I'm not discounting the mothers out there, because mothers do carry responsibilities too. When it comes to the role of a father, as fathers, we are to look or to be the pillars in the development of our child's emotional well-being. And as children, they look to their fathers to lay down the rules and enforce them. As well, they also look to their fathers to provide a feeling of security, both physical and emotional. And if I can say to the fathers today, you play a vital role in the life of your child. Again, I'll say, you play a vital role in the life of your child. Fathers are also there to make sure that values and morals are instilled into a child so that the child will grow up to be a respectful individual and be respected by others as well. And when I looked at some responsibilities of a father, it says that a father is to communicate with your children or your child. You're supposed to be involved, provide for your family, be a good role model. You have to balance discipline and fun. And most of all, you got to accept the responsibility as a father. I remember when Kwan and I had our first child, Terrell. And, you know, he came out and, you know, looking at it and I'm holding it in my hand. And I don't know why, but guys, they just, as fathers, we just like to hold the child in our hand. And as I'm holding him, I'm looking at him and I'm like, wow, like, he's mine. I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna take care of him. I'm going to teach him things. And most of all, as I'm looking at him, like, you're going to carry my name. Right? And over the course of the years, of course, we had Tamil, Tamara, and Tristan, and I looked at them and thought the same thing as I held each and every one of them. Ephesians 6:4 says that fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And as fathers, we do the best that we can for our children, as well as for our families. You know, we learn about being a father based on how our fathers brought us up. But maybe there's those that didn't have a father, but there was someone that was in your life as a father where you learned what being a father is all about. You know, as I was going through this, I was thinking back, and thinking back to my father-in-law, Kwan's dad, and he was a prime example of what a loving father was supposed to look like. Because I never seen that in my father grow. You know, we have to remember that there's no manual for being a father. There's no step one, do this. There's no course on how to be an amazing father. If there is, well, I don't think I need to take that now. But we just learn as we go. But most of all, we learn from our Heavenly Father how to father our children. And I'm not a perfect father. I don't know who is, you know, I've made mistakes. But there are times where I feel like I fail like a father. And I know you brought that message this morning, Pastor. I thank you for that. I thank you so much for that. That was speaking to me. But at times I find myself asking these questions, you know, am I doing what I'm supposed to do as a father in my child's life? Am I speaking those words to affirm them of who they are? Am I as involved as I should be in their life? Am I a good role model to my children? And as I was going through this and I'm asking those same questions again, the Holy Spirit said, just ask that. Ask that. Because, you know, the enemy likes to play with our minds. They make us feel like we're failures. So I asked them, and without naming names, you know, I even asked my wife as well, but, you know, they said, you're very helpful. When something is wrong, you are always there to fix it. You're very supportive. You're great at giving advice when it comes to my spiritual walk, and also when it comes to talks about boys. You seem to have gotten better at that over a couple of years. You do a great job in recognizing that something's going on, knowing that we want to rant about it so bad. You do a great job of uplifting us and hearing us out. You do a great job of just trying. You don't give up. You give the example of trying. You do well in making me think You have real conversations. You do fun things. And even when you do the laundry and fold the clothes, it's so neat. And these are all great things. These are all great things. And, you know, they're great for me to hear. They're really, really comforting. But I've said to God that, you know, I don't want to be a good father. Because the only person that is good is God. I just want to be a father to my children. I want to be that loving, caring, protective father. But I also want to make sure that as I have this relationship with my Heavenly Father, that I'm also showing them that they too can have a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And while I'm doing this, while I'm caring for my family, you know, making sure that they're taken care of, making sure that they're loved, there's somebody else that also needs attention too. And that's my Father. For those that don't know, for the last couple of years, my sister and I have been really managing things with my father. Most recently, he's been diagnosed with early signs of dementia. And it's been frustrating. I can honestly say it's been frustrating having conversations with him, repeating some things over and over again because he doesn't want to wear the hearing aids. It's been hard. It's been hard even just trying to show him things, show him different things. It's been very frustrating because he's so used to doing things how he did it in his life. But I find myself in that in-between. On one end, I'm receiving that love from my Heavenly Father. And then the other part of me is trying to love. My father. Even though it's frustrating, even though he's miserable, I still have to love him. And one thing I can say that my father does well in is he'll always gather us together to pray when we leave his place. So if I could encourage fathers today, I know we got responsibilities. But I'd say love your wife, love your children, care for them. As fathers, be involved in their life. Pray for them daily. And most of all, don't stop being a father. Thank you.
I have the opportunity to follow all these great speakers, and I'm closing it off. But if it doesn't work at home, you can't export it. I'm going to say that again. If it doesn't work at home, you can't export it. So it has to work at home. Psalms 103, verse 13 said, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." And I'll be speaking to you this morning on where I am at as a father, where I'm at as a father. How would you describe a father? For we all fall and came short of the glory of God. We never measure up. See, we try to measure up to the standard of society. And we look for a society's approval. But is that what the Father asked of us? Who's the Father? Google's definition, a man in relation with his children. The word relation. While you're thinking on the word relation or relationship, Oxford definition of relation is the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, a thing's effect and a relevance to another. So here are a few synonyms. Connection, association, interconnection, link, correlation, correspondence, parallel, and bond. We're running out of time. See, in order for me to tell you where I'm at as a father, I have to go back, way back, it's many years now. I remember seeing my first bond for the very first time. For those toddler years, I would say definitely would win Father of the Year award. Not in view of popular contests, but in view of my children, it was a bliss. Then there was a second and a third and a fourth. You asked me if I would do it again, and I'd say without a doubt, I would. Now they're grown, they're mature teenagers, and when they reach that stage, everything changes. Can you be a father when your kids start the age 13, 14, when puberty kicks in and the hormones are all over the place? Can you love them? Can you father them? That's where my struggle started. How can a broken boy who has never met his father father someone else? It's impossible. You don't know anything about love, anything about compassion, anything about taking care of children. It was an impossible task. But you see, I got saved at an early age. And one thing I know for sure, I know the Word of God. So when my kids were growing up, I turned to the Word of God. And I took them through the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes twice, because I couldn't father them, so I allowed God to father them. I'm going to close because we're out of time here. So who is a father? A father seeks God's will for his family. A father is a protector. A father is a provider. A father is a helper. A father is a lover. A father is a teacher. A father is one who sets godly footprints. A father is one who leaves the kingdom legacy. A father do not compromise the truth. A father speaks the truth even when it hurts. A father is one who understands that he needs the help of his wife since they are now one. A father models godly character. I want to share something I read this week. The 10 most popular sayings, and then I'm going to close. Number one, by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he is wrong. Any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Number three, a truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty. It doesn't matter who my father was. It matters who I remember him as. It's easier for fathers to have children than for children to have real fathers. A father is a banker, a provider by nature. You know, fathers just have a way of putting everything together. The greatest gift I ever had came from God. I call him Dad. And number 9, a father carries picture where his money used to be. He spends it all. Remember that. And I close with this. Once a father overheard his son pray, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my dad is." Later that night, the father prayed, "Dear God, make me the kind of man my son wants." Broken crayons still makes a perfect picture. It doesn't matter where you're at. God could take brokenness and make it into something special. Pastor Jermaine, you said it. Surrender. God will bring it to pass. Father, we thank you for this time. As we celebrate fathers, God, I pray that we would look to you continually, as the scripture declares in all